Go ahead and open today to the book of Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13. And we're thankful for each of you that came to our Sunday school class this morning. We're also thankful for you that are listening by way of radio. And I want to remind you that if you've missed any of our study in the book of Romans and you have a computer, you can turn to, go to www.ghtg.org. That is, of course, the initials for Good Hope Through Grace, which is the name of our radio broadcast, and you can get all the sermons. We have over 700 sermons on that site, and we have all the radio broadcasts on that site. So let me repeat that again, www.ghtg.org. Also, that will give you all the information with regard to the Elizabeth Baptist Church. So for tonight, Romans chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 8 through verses 10. It says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. There be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this privilege to be on the radio. We're also thankful for this privilege to teach a Sunday school class. We're thankful for the people that are gathered here to hear the message. We're thankful for those that are listening by way of radio also. We pray your blessings upon everyone that's listening. We pray that your word would be made known in such a fashion that is pleasing unto you and it accomplished that which you intend to accomplish. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we're going to title the message today. And I think it's a good title. It's "The Debt You Should Never Pay." The debt you should never pay. Now, certainly we should pay all of our debts that we accumulate in our life, but there is a debt that's mentioned in these verses that you should never pay. In other words, this debt is something that you owe and you should pay on all the days of your life. What that debt is seen in verse 8. It says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." And, of course, you can tell from the wording, the debt that we should never pay is the debt of what? Love. We are to love one another. And that's going to be the focus. That's the debt that we should never pay. We always owe that throughout our days. And we never get to the point as a Christian to where we don't need to love one another and even to have love towards those that are our neighbor and those that are unsaved. That's a debt we should never pay. Now, that's what the message is going to be on tonight. I'll go ahead and give you the outline that I'm going to cover. We're going to show who is the object of our love, who is to be the object of our love. And then the next point, we're going to look at how great the attribute of love is, how great of an attribute that is. If you're born again, that's the number one attribute you should have as a Christian, is the attribute of love. So we're going to look at those two points, who is to be the object of our love, and how great the attribute of love is. Okay? Well, let's go ahead and get into the message, the debt you should never pay. Now, it says in verse 8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." Now, what we have to do is figure out who we're to love in the text. And first person that we're to love, or first people we're to love, if you'll see in verse 8, it says we're to love one another. Now, what I want you to understand when it says that, when you read the book of Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you got to know what those were. Those were churches, just like the Elizabeth Baptist Church. Those were churches. They had pastors, they had deacons, they had people that assembled together. Of course, the word church means to assemble. That's what they were. So, Romans, for instance, was an epistle. An epistle is a letter. It was written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church located at Rome. So when he said you need to love one another, he's speaking to that as a church. And of course, when you look at a church, Should that not be the dominant characteristic that a church has? We should love one another. Now, that's not optional. Sometimes in churches we choose whom we love and whom we don't. But we're to love one another. Everyone that's a member, everyone that attends, there is to be a love that you have towards them. So that's the first thing that I want you to see. You're to love one another. We're talking about in the church. And of course, it's also referring to your brothers and sisters outside your church fellowship. We're to love one another. Now, let's go ahead and get the second object of our love. The first one is one another. The second one, if you'll look up in the text, the latter part of verse 9, I don't want to reread all of verse 9, but it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, of course, certainly when you're talking about your neighbor, you're talking about those that live around you, but it's far broader. When you use the term neighbor, it's far broader than that. And you're just not talking about those that live near you, and you're not just talking about saved people either. Really, your neighbor is whoever God sets in your way that has need. Now, let me show you Luke chapter 10, whether they have need or not, but mainly those that have needs, how you show your love when you help them in their need. Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 10. And boy, I love to preach from this particular text. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Don't y'all love that particular story? I really indeed love it. And the reason why that the Lord gave this parable is because he was asked the question. Look down in verse 29. He was speaking in the context to a man, and he was teaching him that he was to love his neighbor. And in verse 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all thy strength. This is Luke 10:27. And with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So he asked that question to Jesus. That was a mistake, wasn't it? That's just what Jesus is saying. But now let's look at the question. I never did read the question, but let's look at verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? There's the question. Jesus taught him that he's to love his neighbor as himself. Then he comes up, you know, with a question. Well, who's my neighbor? Well, to answer that question, Jesus told him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritan, of course, didn't live by. Well, there was a Jew that, if you read the story of the Good Samaritan, there was a Jew that was beaten and robbed and left for dead, remember? And then along came a priest and seen him hurt. And this was a Jewish priest, one that offered sacrifices. He seen him in the road. He seen he was hurt, seen he was bleeding, but never got involved. He walked over down and walked down the other side of the road. Come a Levite, who was also an official at the Jewish temple, religious. Both of these were religious men. They seen this man have need, but they never helped the man, see. Well, here come a Samaritan. And a Samaritan and the Jews, they hated each other. There was, you talk about a racial so-called divide, there was between them two. The most least likely to help this Jew would have been a Samaritan. But the text says that this Samaritan, when he seen him, got down off his horse, poured in oil and wine in his cuts, bounded up his wounds, put him on his horse, which means he had to walk, and took him into a village, and then put him up in an inn, give money for him to be taken care of, and left. What is he showing? Your neighbor is anyone that the Lord places in your way that has a need. Whether they're a Samaritan, don't make no difference. The color of their skin, don't make no difference whether they're related to you or not. That's who your neighbor is. See the point? That's why Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan to identify who your neighbor is. I want you to know something. God will set people in your way for you to show kindness and love to. He'll do that. He'll place them in your way where you're the only one that can help them. And he has a purpose for doing that. Okay? So, who is the object of our love? One another and our neighbors. And that's the folks that God places in our, you know, in our area, in our way. Certainly applies to those who live around us, but it's so much broader than that when you understand the parable of the Good Samaritan. Sometimes the Lord will place people in your way so that you can show them the love of the Lord by helping them. Okay? All right. Now let's go ahead and move on to the second point. Remember, this is the debt you should never pay. What's the debt you should never pay? Love, because it's never paid. You're to owe that all the days of your life and constantly be showing that towards people. Now, this second point is, how great is this attribute of love? How great is this attribute of love? Let's go back to our text in the book of Romans 12, and let's show you how great this attribute indeed is. Romans 13. I still got Romans 12 on my mind, I guess because I spent so long in it. Let's go back to our text. Romans chapter 13. How great is this attribute? Well, notice what it says in verse 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. See? You're to constantly owe that. You constantly owe love. See, that's the point of it. That's why we give it the title that we did. He that loveth hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. When you love someone, then you're abiding by the commandments. It's a point that he's trying to make. If you look, we got the commandments divided into two parts, and they really are divided into two parts. One has our duties towards God. For instance, thou shalt have no other gods, thou shalt not make any graven image, thou shalt not use his name in vain, you remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's our duty towards God. Now, the other half of the commandments is our duties towards our fellow man. Thou shalt not murder is the idea of not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery, steal, bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Honor your father and mother. These are duties towards our fellow man. See how the commandments are divided in two halves? Well, he says if you love one another, then you're fulfilling the law. See, if you love your brother in Christ, then you're not going to murder him, are you? If you love your brother, then you're not going to commit adultery. If you love your brother, then you're not going to steal from him. If you love your brother, then you're not going to bear false witness against him. You see, that's why he says when you love one another, then you're doing what? You're fulfilling the law. You're doing what the commandment says to do. I want you to understand something about the commandments. And we are to obey the commandments. We are to seek to obey the commandments after that we're saved. We don't do it to get saved, but we do them because they are saved. I want you to understand something. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, it says, cursed. I want to put all this together here a little bit. It says, cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which is written in the law to do them. In other words, I mentioned this Wednesday night. When I'm telling someone that they need to be saved, I show them why they need to be saved. And what I do is I take them to the commandments. You know one thing we all have in common here this morning? Every one of us has broken those commandments at least once. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. That's the law. You not only break the commandments by deed, but Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, you also can break the commandments by thought. So you can break them both ways. So both of us, all of us, have broken God's law. You know what the Bible says what happens if you broke God's law? Galatians 3:10 says, cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which are written in the law to do them. So that means, here's what that means. If you committed one sin, you broke the law in one point, then you're guilty. And Galatians 3 says that you're what? Cursed. Cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You don't want to die under that curse. Now, you know how that curse got paid? You know, we tell people they need to be saved. We say that all the time. Well, they need to be saved from. They need to be saved from the sin curse. Everybody has a sin curse. You're born. Actually, the Bible teaches we're born sinners. And then we commit sin. We break God's law. We're under that curse. We need to be set what? Free from it. The reason why Jesus was born is so that he could live. Live how he lived. He was born under the law. And he's the only person that ever walked this planet that kept that law 100%. Only one that ever did. You see, in order to be a substitute for you and to pay your debt that you owed, it required the sacrifice of one that was perfect. Only Jesus could do it. Moses couldn't do it. Elijah couldn't do it. Although Abraham couldn't do it, they were all sinners. They all broke God's law. They were all under the same curse that you're under and that I was under. Jesus came, lived perfect, went to the cross of Calvary, paid our debt. Paid it in full. Didn't pay it in half. Paid it. He became a curse for us. The Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when we trust Jesus as our Savior, you have your curse paid. Who paid it? Jesus. I deserve hell, folks. But Jesus paid my debt. You have to have a substitute. And that substitute's Jesus. And you have to trust him. And when you trust Jesus, your sin is charged to Jesus. Your curse is charged to Jesus. And his righteousness is charged to you. That's what it means to be saved. Everybody see it? That's what it means to be saved. That's why you need to be saved. There's a lot of people who are good people the way you look at it and the way I look at it. But if they've never trusted Jesus, they're still under the what? They're still under the curse. They're still under it. Okay? So we don't seek to keep the commandments to get saved. They can't save you because the requirements are too great. But after you've trusted Jesus and you are saved, you seek to keep the commandments because you love the Lord. You know, Jesus told his disciples, if ye love me, keep my commandments. That's the way he said. But I'm not keeping the Ten Commandments. I'm not trusting the Ten Commandments to get saved. I trusted Jesus to get saved. And now that I am saved, I want to keep the commandments because of what? Because of loving. I want to please him. I want to obey. Everybody see it? Makes a great deal of difference. Why you do what you do. So we're looking now at how great this attribute of love is. When you're loving someone like you should, then you're keeping that second half of the commandments. You know, not killing, not committing adultery. When you're loving, then you're fulfilling the law. That's what he's showing you how great that it is in the text. Everybody see it? So how great is this attribute of love when you're doing it and you're loving your brother like you should and you're keeping the law? That's what he's showing you. You're not stealing. You're not committing adultery. You're not doing these things. Okay. Let me give you the second evidence or the second. We're looking at how great this attribute it is. It's great because it's the fulfilling of the law. Secondly, it's great because it's an evidence of salvation. It's an evidence of salvation. It's the evidence of a genuine salvation. Notice John chapter 13, Gospel of John, Big John, John chapter 13. And we'll notice verse 34. I love these two verses right here together. It says in verse 34, a new commandment. Is love optional? Let me say that. Is love? I know it says a new commandment I write unto you, Jesus said. There's some people that's not real lovable. But you got to love them anyhow because it's a commandment. See what I mean? A new commandment I give unto you that ye love one another. Now look, watch this. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, buddy, that's such a high standard, isn't it? Jesus said to love one another as I have. How much did Jesus love you? He loved you while you yet. His love for you wasn't based on your performance. You were a sinner and you didn't have nothing to offer. But Jesus loved you so much. The greatest evidence of his love is when he died on Calvary for your sin. That's the greatest evidence of his love. God so loved, see. He gave his son. So Calvary is the greatest evidence. He sacrificed for you. He sacrificed for you. Now it says this in verse 35. By this, John 13:35. By this, by what? By loving one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Well, they're still persecuting Christians in the world. You just don't hear a whole lot about it. But they're still killing Christians all over the world today. We in the United States live in an ivory palace, really, compared to what other nations, they are still putting Christians to death. In the Middle Ages, they put 50 million to death. I mean, God's people have historically always been persecuted. When you read about the apostles, they were all put to death, which maybe the exception of John the Apostle, who wrote the book of Revelation, maybe not him. He was exiled to the island of Patmos, but they were all persecuted. But one of the things, and another thing they did is they destroyed their writings. Things they would write, they had destroyed it. So a lot of their records were destroyed. But one record persevered of these early Christians. You know what they said, their enemies wrote about them? They sure do love one another, though. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, because ye love one another. You see, it's an evidence. That's why it's important. It's an evidence that not only are you fulfilling the law when you love one another, but it's an evidence of a new birth. It's an evidence of being saved. My uncle talked about an old deacon that used to go to church here years ago. And he said, "Jeff, I hated him. He's the meanest old deacon you ever seen in your life. He made everybody mad, is what he did. He'd make people mad in church, the young people. They'd get out of line, he'd make them in line. And if my uncle would be the one that got out of line, he'd go tell my papa. Oh, that wasn't good. To go tell my papa that his son misbehaved in church. Well, my uncle told me about the day he got saved. And he said, after I got saved, he said, I loved that old man. You see, it's an evidence. The old man didn't change. Who changed? My uncle changed. He had a change of heart. And when the Lord saves your soul, that is an evidence of a new birth. We're talking about the greatness of this attribute. It is an evidence of a genuine salvation. And it also, when you're loving, then you're loving one another. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll show you the third greatness of this, the reason why this attribute is great. Third reason. It's the most enduring of all attributes. Do you agree? It's the most enduring of all attributes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. It says, "Now abides faith, hope." And you see the word charity? That's the word love. Same word, yeah, agape. It's used elsewhere. Now abides faith, love, hope, and love. Now, those are great attributes, aren't they? Faith, hope, and love. Now, the third reason why love is so great, not only is it the fulfilling of the law, not only is love an evidence of a genuine salvation, but it's the most enduring of all attributes. And what do I mean by most enduring? You'll always have it. It will always be. Hear me now. One day, faith will be sight. Hear what I'm saying? One day, we won't have faith no more in the sense that we have it here now. I look forward to going to heaven. I look forward to seeing Jesus. By faith, I know Jesus is there. By faith, I know He died for me. But one day, faith's going to be sight. I'm going to see Him. I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to be there. That's no longer faith then, is it? Won't you look forward to when your faith becomes sight? I'm going to see my loved ones that knew Jesus, that passed on before me. One day, faith is going to be sight. Notice the next attribute that's listed here. And now abides faith, hope. What's hope? The word hope is different in the Bible than the way we use it. The word hope is to confidently expect. I have a hope of heaven. That means I confidently expect to go to heaven. I have a hope of seeing Jesus. I have a hope of seeing my loved ones again. I have a hope of one day getting a new body that's never going to get sick, age, or die. That's a good hope. The name of our radio broadcast is Good Hope Through Grace. Because of God's grace, we have the good hope of going to heaven and seeing Jesus. But one day, hope's going to be realized. It's not going to be hope anymore. It's not going to be faith anymore because you're going to be there. But guess what's going to endure all the way throughout all eternity? It says, now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Why is the greatest love? Because love endures throughout time. Even when we get to heaven, we'll still have agape love. 10 billion years from now, there'll still be agape love. You see what I mean? But 10 billion years from now, your hope will be realized and your faith will be sight. Love is the most enduring. Isn't that wonderful? It's the greatest of all attributes. It's the greatest of all attributes. It is the most enduring of all attributes. Last of all, when we're talking about the greatness of love, it's something that lost people understand. And it opens doors to lost people. Do you agree? Lost people don't understand the doctrines of justification and all the doctrines that we believe. But lost people understand kindness. That's what they understand. You know, the people that lived in Israel know the difference between Jesus and the religious leaders of the day because Jesus was kind. And Jesus went about doing good. And Jesus went about helping people. He was different from the religionists of His day. They were mean and cantankerous and hated sinners. See the difference? It opens doors to the lost. The reason why He told the parable of the Good Samaritan. Don't you imagine if you as the Good Samaritan, if you as that Jew that the Good Samaritan helped, don't you think that would have had an impact in your life? Here's a man that I wouldn't have helped. Here was a man that I wouldn't have showed any kindness to. Do you think the Good Samaritan was a Christian? Do you think he was a Christian? You can look at his life and you can see all the evidence of someone that's had a new birth. That's how Christians should be. We all should be Good Samaritans. There's a lot of things that unbelievers don't understand. But there's one thing they do understand. They understand people that love them and they understand people that care for them. And when you show that kindness and love, many times that'll open up you an opportunity to share Jesus with them. See the difference? It opens up doors. I'm going to tell you something. These religious things, a lot of these religious things, they don't understand them. They're spiritually blinded. But they understand kindness. They understand someone that will help them. And they understand someone that's kind to them. And they understand someone that lives the life. That's what they understand. And that's what opens what? That's what opens doors. So you can see, this is the debt we should never pay. And that's our debt of love. We're to love one another. We're to love our neighbors. When we do so, we're fulfilling the law. We're showing evidence of a genuine salvation. We're doing something, an attribute that's going to last forever. And it opens the doors to unsaved people. This has been Good Hope Through Grace. I thank you so much for coming this morning to Sunday school. And you that's listening by radio, I thank you for listening. May God add His blessings.